on Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
And Luther.
And Julia.
You know, in the last hour, we were talking about medical marijuana patients and Marinol and things like that. Apparently, Justin has called in, has some kind of thoughts on Marinol experience, perhaps. Justin?
Hey, how's it going?
All's well. So what are your thoughts on Marinol?
Okay, good. Well, I remember giving a lecture on cannabinoids. And the reason that Marinol is not an ideal way of delivering THC for medical marijuana patients is because THC by itself is not very pleasant at all.
Okay.
As it turns out, I'm sorry?
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Marinol is just pure THC, but marijuana has multiple psychoactive compounds, and one of those besides THC is called cannabidiol. And in order for marijuana to be pleasurable, there has to be a combination of THC and cannabidiol.
Okay.
In fact, there was a documentary on the BBC called "Should I Smoke Dope?" With journalist Nikki Taylor, I believe it was, and she reenacted an experiment that had been done comparing THC versus THC plus cannabidiol, and the THC alone, when she was given that, she felt morbid. She felt like she was at a funeral. She felt paranoid. Yeah, just it was not a good time.
Not a pleasant experience,
but,
okay.
Right, but on the day that she was given the THC plus cannabidiol, she was practically falling out of the chair laughing. You know, it was a pleasant experience. And, you know, so that's one reason that medical marijuana, from a pharmacological standpoint, is superior to Marinol.
Gotcha.
You know, Marinol is just pure THC.
Is it more effective? Is Marinol effective in handling the pain that these people experience or not?
I think so. I mean, it's FDA approved, you know, for what that's worth.
I don't know that means that it works. I think that means it just doesn't kill people.
Yeah.
Or too
that's
people.
Even debatable.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Right, but I honestly don't know how.
You're just talking about the cannabinoids and what their reactions were in the mind. Gotcha.
Right.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information, Justin. It's certainly, you know, if I had the option of taking a drug that made me happy versus a drug that made me sad, it'd be the drug that made me happy that I would prefer to take. You know, just what I need, a painkiller, that I need to have a frickin', some kind of mood-enhancing drug.
They have antidepressants for that.
Yeah, right. That's, we got that for that. Let's go to Leo in Oregon. Leo.
Hello. Hey, that's a pretty interesting topic you guys are discussing. I hate to switch gears.
It's Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
A group of us, I work with the city, and a group of us have been pushing to switch our work schedule to 5 9-hour days and then 4 9-hour days and then have every other Friday off. And the word came down the pipeline today that that's against state law, and it just seems kind of fishy to me that that would be the case. And I don't know if you guys is that a state thing? Working, they're saying because of that first week is 5 hours over 40, and so it's not permissible.
Maybe the public sector union negotiated that nobody will have more than a 40-hour work week, and so therefore working 45 hours one week and then 35 hours the next week somehow violates that. And yeah. I couldn't say. I mean, I have no idea.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of some jobs will have the schedule of what's known as 4-10s, where you work 4 10-hour days,
yeah,
and you have a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, and that's what we originally put in for a proposal to do, and I cited several examples of, for example, the state of Utah doing it, and there's another county here in Oregon that's on 4-10s year-round, and that's what our push was for, but I guess change just comes slowly.
Oh, indeed.
It just didn't meet with good reception on the higher, the couple upper management people were a little upset about it.
Well, any idea that is not your own is generally a bad idea. And in this case, upper management has no reason at all to try to solve any problems for you guys down there on the end of it all. So, they're just going to do whatever they feel like. That sounds like a bad idea. And off they go.
Leo.
I wish I would have known beforehand. We could have talked to everybody. I just didn't think it would be that big of a deal. And, I have another question that's been bugging me that
Just one second before you go on. Luther has a question for you.
Before you go on, what is the benefit of having this 45-hour week and then a 35-hour week? Is it just that you can have a Friday off?
Well, I have a personal benefit to it. I'm a single dad, so, and the courts have afforded me in my parenting plan, they've afforded me three days every weekend with my daughter. So
okay.
So for me, that's the personal issue. But there is no, I actually submitted data backing up. There's actually been empirical data. There's been studies as far as there are pros and there are cons. But a lot of people like that extra time. And one of the benefits of working a 40-hour week in 4 days versus 5 days is that you have that fifth day to take care of personal business, and you don't have to take as much time off at work.
What are the cons to a four-day work week?
They're mostly they mostly have to do with scheduling. They mostly have to do with scheduling and not having working around each other, but. As far as me and my partner, there's only two of us. And the thing is, we're on 4-10s in the summertime, and it works fine. So, continuing on that schedule.
I just wanted to half the year? I mean, it doesn't seem like this would be that difficult to get done, does it?
No, it doesn't seem like it because, we're there, and we're actually more available to the public, because we're present for more hours during the day. And we have staggered days off. So some crews have Monday off and some crews have Friday off.
This is the nature of the state. It is an organization that intends to stay static as much as it possibly can. And even people who would, work for it, who would benefit and their lives would be better, they just, it is just antithetical to change and progress. And it's sad to hear, Leo. I wish you luck with it. 855-450-3733. You can give us a call at Free Talk Live. Talk about your experience trying to get some kind of change and sense made out of the government. It's sad. Let's go to Nick in Illinois. Nick?
Hi. I almost called in earlier after a particular post-dinner time conversation left me disillusioned with the possibility that I would ever convince my parents of the ideas of liberty.
Okay.
And as I wrote out what I was going to say on the air, it occurred to me that I must never have struck the root with either of my parents. There's a bit of a backstory here, but I'll try to keep it brief. So, Obama's new tax plan was unveiled today, and as I was sitting down to watch the news on my TiVo, my dad mentioned how Obama unveiled the tax plan, and it called...
What is that?
What?
Funny noise. Go ahead.
Somebody else must have picked up another phone.
Okay, that happens.
Okay, where was I?
Obama's new tax plan, Dad tells you about it?
Yeah. And it called for the rich to pay their, quote, fair share.
That's right.
Warren Buffett said that he pays only 70% of his income in taxes.
That's right. Warren Buffett gets to speak for all the rich people, that's for sure. Nick, please hold the line here. We're going to find out what your conversation with your parents was like. It's always interesting trying to have conversations with people about liberty, inform them of the ideas, and especially when it comes to parents. Parents don't have a lot of respect for kids' ideas. Free Talk Live.
The Ruger LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP, features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high-visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing you can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com?
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 Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com. Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
$855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on Free Talk Live with Mark.
And Julia.
Luther, try that again.
Oh, what if you found out the best liberty activists from around the world were moving to the same place in order to achieve liberty in their lifetimes? Would you want to join them? It's happening, and you can be a part of it. Join the Free State Project at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
Changed our lives, you know?
Yeah.
I picked up and moved from the Free State Project.
My life has become an adventure since I came here.
Well, your life was an adventure already, my friend.
That's true.
So we were talking with Nick in Illinois about his discussions with his parents about the ideas of liberty, and I think a lot of people deal with this kind of situation, dealing with people in their families, talking to them about the ideas of liberty.
Julia and I certainly did.
Yep. So, Nick, tell me the story.
Quick recap. I had a post-dinner time conversation with my parents about Obama's new tax plan, which calls for the rich to pay their, quote, fair share. When my dad mentioned that what Warren Buffett said about how he and his class are not paying their fair share, I said mostly to myself, oh, so it's only fair as long as everyone is getting 30% of their money stolen to fund the wars. And what I meant by that is that, the secretary is being taxed too much. Nobody's really talking about that. But anyway, it was really chaotic. So a lot of what we said kind of went past each other. And Dad was dealing with his parents, and I was dealing with my 3-year-old nephew who's desperately vying for my attention during
yes.
the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I remember Dad saying to Mom was something like, and now the Republicans are calling it class warfare, picking on the rich, and that made Mom almost choke on her drink. I didn't want to contest him on that point because I felt like that would be a distraction. I didn't want to come across as some kind of defender of the rich like Fox News, you know? So instead, after the cast died down some, I
But, you know, this point, before you go on, this point tends to, for me, it seems to me that if you can tax rich people for what they have because it's bad that they've got more than you have, then you can tax anyone for anything, which means that you can, at that point, the state essentially just decides how much of your stuff it's okay for them to steal. And that's not a good position for any of us to be in, it seems to me.
Oh, yes, and I'm getting to that.
Okay, go ahead.
So instead, after the chaos died down some, I tried to strike the root. I said, Dad, what happens to that secretary? Because, you know, I didn't want to sound like I was defending Warren Buffett, so I focused on the secretary. What happens to that secretary if she doesn't pay her 30%? And all he said was, I'm too tired to care about Warren Buffett's secretary. And that was, you know, I don't blame him for that.
That's a legitimate statement, sure.
Yeah, he works really hard and doubly so taking care of his parents. But what really frustrated me is that I thought I had gone there before. Like, when I explained how unfair it was for a demo to get sentenced to jail for mouthing off to a judge, I thought at that time that I had gotten my dad to see the violence in the system and how unfair it is to have this class of people called the state who rule over others.
Well, this is a situation that's true for essentially any conversion process. And I often will use religious conversions as an example. And the fact is that the ideas of liberty aren't politics, they're morality. And that's, you know, it makes what we do here on Free Talk Live far more like preacher radio than what they do on the left or right talking head shows. We almost never talk about the politicians here. They're talking about the horse races all the time. You know, the one politician we talk about is Ron Paul because, well, he's been very consistent throughout his career.
Yeah, in my house, it's all about politics and policy. And I think maybe I've been approaching it from the wrong angle all this time.
Well, and policy is morality because it's the implementation of the, you know, the violence of the state. So I think that that's, you know, perfectly legitimate.
Yeah. So I went to striketheroot.com and found this article titled Government is Force. And I sent it to my dad because he was too busy to really talk. And I'm still waiting back on his reaction to that. But I got my mom alone in her study and I read it aloud to her. And as it turns out, I really had never brought this up with them before. Not quite so eloquently as it was put in that article, because I cornered her in her office. Not really cornered. She was there, and I came in and I sat, and I lost my material. I'll recall it from memory.
Okay.
All right. So I read her the article, and I talked to her in. After I read some of it aloud, and she looked very thoughtful. She said it was interesting, and I was surprised. I said, you mean I've never brought any of this up before? Apparently I hadn't. And I read the rest to her and had a little more explanation about where I was coming from and why I had misgivings about the unveiling of Obama's new tax plan, the idea that anyone has, quote, fair share to pay. The best parts of the article are, first of all, it covers some of the ground that everybody's familiar with. Because, you know, people don't understand why libertarians dislike government, and they assign these motives to them, like, you must hate poor people. And then I read the part about, but what's so hard to understand, government is violence. It's the only institution that is given a monopoly on the legitimate use of violence.
Right, and it's supposed to rule over other monopolies. I mean, you know, the monopolies are bad unless, of course, the government, which is a monopoly, will grant a monopoly in that particular area. You know, I mean, somehow or another, monopolies are bad until, I mean, I don't understand how people even live in this world, this crazy mixed up world where the government's not a monopoly and the monopolies the government grants are okay, but any other monopolies are bad and business is bad. I don't, it's bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't really understand why being rich is bad. I want to be rich.
Yeah, well, she didn't understand that. She had never heard of that definition of government as a monopoly on the legitimate use of force.
I love, I can't pull it up because I don't know anything about the soundboards around here or anything like that, but Ian has it here on the soundboard somewhere where he can pull up Barack Obama saying that government has the monopoly privilege on the use of violence, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so I think that most people don't really know about these kinds of things that are actually well-known and common in political science circles, because that's what I was taught in political science, is that government is a monopoly on the use of force, but I guess it was just never really carried out to its logical conclusion. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that, you know, like if you really think that you're consenting to be governed by these people who decide how much of your money to take, then they basically, then you're basically agreeing that they own you.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what it is. If the government can take 25% of what you make, then they can take 35% or 45% or 55%. And frankly, they're really just lying about how much they're taking, because people think of taxes, they think of income tax. Mm-hmm. That is just scratching the surface, my friends. I mean, you know, buy something, they're taking 9% in sales tax. You know, you're everything that you buy, the corporations that have made it have been taxed. So there's that 20 or 30
hidden tax in there.
Yep, and there, you know, you've got to pay that because, well, there's no corporations are choosing to do their do business for free. They're not doing it in order to do a public service. They're doing it to make money, and so therefore they've all their costs are built right in. So we the folks on the end of this are paying all of these taxes, and that's why Tax Freedom Day is like in the middle of May. That means that the average person is working to pay taxes until the middle of May. That's almost half the year. Almost half your money is paid in taxes.
One last thing is that I think the most effective part of the article that I had never really gotten to, I had never really said before myself, was the argument against democracy. Because it says here, in my lifetime, the only elections have been to determine who would run the government, not what its powers, if any, would be. And I think that's one of the most effective points to make against the argument for democracy.
Makes sense. Nick, thanks for the call. 855-450-FREE on Free Talk Live.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought a woman with me. No woman would be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. And we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free when you call today. Don't decline. Declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information.
For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call National Debt Relief today at 1-800-460-5733. 1-800-460-5733. This free information is available only for a limited time. Change your life. Call 1-800-460-5733 today.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Monday edition of Free Talk Live. You've been hearing us talk about bitcoins for a while now. Maybe you didn't know how to go about getting them. Well, there's a new easy way. You can get bitcoins by depositing cash at thousands of banking locations across the U.S., including Bank of America and Wells Fargo. Once you have your bitcoins, you can use them to pay anyone in the world with no transaction fees or third parties getting involved. Completely anonymous internet transaction. It works just like a person-to-person cash transaction, but you can do it over the internet. To learn more, visit exchangebitcoins.com. Again, it's exchangebitcoins.com. And let's go to Shadow in Huntsville, Alabama. Shadow?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, guys?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, I was sitting here looking out my window tonight and read an article earlier today, a little spot in there where Joe Lieberman had talked about that he thought it would be cool to cut some programs, you know, that's helping regular folks so they have more money for war, see? And I'm seeing here, you know, you take Afghanistan. They didn't declare war on us. Neither did Iraq. And what it boils down to, if we've got the imams, of course, they call us the great Satan. That's what it looks like. And I don't like that because what we've got going here is this money being spent and want to be pulled away from regular folks is just to murder more innocent people, women, children, babies, you know, in and out of the womb, all like that. And it makes all of us in this country appear like we support all this psychopathic behavior here that
sure.
The leaders are doing. It's making our troops look like war criminals and murderers. It makes you, me, all the rest of us out here look like that's all that we agree with all that stuff too, even though we maybe don't. But it still makes us look like that. And I don't like this, man. I don't like this at all. And now I'm not a pacifist. I'm a Mohawk. so there ain't no pacifist among my people. But war, if it's self-defense, that's one thing. You know, like we had back in the old days when people trying to take our lands.
Sure, but I mean, there's a completely difference between aggressive force and, you know, reciprocal force.
Yeah, definitely on that. And one other thing, I'm just going to say this. When you was talking with the other guy, I recognize the idea of Chairman Mao. You know, when you say the government monopoly on force, Chairman Mao says power comes out of the barrel of the gun.
Absolutely. It's the only thing I know that he said that, that is a true and accurate statement. I can't say I've spent a lot of time studying Chairman Mao, but that's exactly where the government's force comes from. What's that?
I haven't either, but I just remember, I took economics and government in high school, and we all had to read Karl Marx, you know, the Communist Manifesto, so, you know. I remember a little bit from it anyway.
I'll bet you kids aren't reading that at all in high school right now. You know,
no.
I would imagine they're not even touching stuff like that. Because
unless you're, I guess some teenagers are, like the more rebellious ones who gravitate.
Choosing to read it.
Yeah, who choose to read it. But other than that,
I wonder if they even understand what they're reading. It seems like you need discussion for, you know, teenagers to really grok what they're dealing with there.
Well, I come up through Vietnam and all like that, so we had it in our high school because the teacher said, well, you guys are going to be drafted probably, and so I just want you to see what it is you'll be fighting, you know, so you don't go over there ignorant. So that's why we had to read that. So.
Makes a certain amount of sense to me. I think that kids should be exposed to, you know, different philosophies. I can't support many of them, but exposure is a good thing.
Yeah, let you know what you're fighting against anyway, man. Yeah.
Indeed. Shadow, thanks for the call.
All right.
855-450-3733. That's the Free Talk Live toll-free call-in line here, sponsored by SACL CAI. I think I was a little fast on that. I dropped him before he got to finish saying all right. So, Julia, you had another article for me?
Well, I thought it was interesting in that it raises an interesting issue. And using interesting twice in the same sense, terrible English.
But you're interested, nonetheless.
I think earlier I said situational.
You did.
Situation.
You did. So
we'll let this slide.
So the article is called "Should Homeless People Work for Their Keep?" And apparently in the city of Austin, Texas, they're debating this right now.
This is a debate.
Should Austin's homeless people be put to work at the city-financed shelter? It's a question that
the shelter they're staying at.
Yes, exactly.
So that, hold on. What they're saying is that there are people that are cleaning up after the homeless people at the shelter currently.
Right.
That sounds insane to me.
You know, I bet a lot of people out there would say that this is wrong or something. I don't understand why you shouldn't work. I work for my bed and my food. Don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if I could call what you do work, but you have worked in your life.
Well, I mean, I make telephone calls during the day to raise money. They, admittedly, a salesman's life is not exactly the most difficult
your
one.
Your boss is a crazy anarchist, so.
Right. Having to deal with the Ian, who is hardly my boss. You should see our contract.
I've seen it. So anyway, to me, like, it's just the question, should homeless people have to work for their keep at the city-funded? Yes, I have to work for my keep. Like, why are you exempt?
It doesn't make any sense to me. My thoughts here are prison. I spent 8 years, 6 months of my life in prison, and you're darn right, the convicts, we didn't have maid service. Good Lord. I mean, admittedly, the work of the guys that cleaned up the dormitory was not difficult. How hard can it be when every workday, Monday through Friday, you clean the same thing? I mean, admittedly, there are 20 guys there, and they probably aren't the cleanest guys in the world, but it doesn't take 8 hours to clean a dormitory. And the houseman, this is the guys that clean the housing units, the houseman, they sleep the rest of the day. I mean, it's not like they got tough work.
No. So to start the story, last week I wrote a story about how maintenance costs at the Austin Research Center for Homeless People, that's an interesting name for me, a homeless center called Austin Research Center for Homeless. It's weird. Are they researching homeless people? I don't know.
Let's put them in this environment and see what they do. Now let's add stimuli to the environment.
Yeah. Let's give them liquor.
Yeah.
Let's give them lightning. No.
So the maintenance costs at the Austin Resource Center, Research Center for Homeless People.
Maybe it's resource. Is resource? No, that would make a lot more
research.
Sense.
Research.
Okay.
I don't know.
It would make a lot more sense to me.
You know, when you look at the story through the microphone, you become kind of cross-eyed.
I know. It's absolutely true. There is no good setup for reading these stories with the microphones. I tried at one point getting some of the Sennheiser headphones.
I remember.
Had the little microphone in front. And it sounded like I was talking through a tin can.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have the best mics that money can buy, essentially. I think it's one step down. There's a slightly better mic, but it's a really for singing, not for talking. And as far as talking goes, we have as good a mic as you could possibly need. And so the audio comes out great, but as a result, you've got this big arm that's in your way, and it's difficult to read the story.
Yeah, well, you can try to push it to the side, but then your head has to turn.
And just talk out of the corner of your mouth like this.
Well, that's what a lot of times you'll end up doing. Just
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but, yeah. Are these directional? Do you have to be, like, right into them?
Pretty close.
I think so.
Yeah. Your mouth has to be right on top.
Definitely.
Okay.
But anyway, homeless people.
Yeah. Are piling up because the facility is being used by far more people than it was designed to house.
And that's the way it's going to be. If you have a good facility, people are going to want to use it.
In addition to the $100,000 plus the city spends each year to maintain the 7-year-old building. Now, why would a 7-year-old building be in that terrible of shape? 7 years isn't that old. They're saying it costs $100,000 to maintain it because nobody owns it, so nobody cares about it.
That's really what ends up happening. When you have a situation where you're, you know, giving people free housing and they kind of consider it to be, a right, an entitlement, it's just not going to get taken care of. The fact is, homeowners take much better care of their property than renters do, and these people are not even renting. They're not even responsible for their actions.
Think about your first new car that you got, the newest car you've got. When you first have it, especially when you first have it, you don't want anybody to even sit in the thing.
Yep, take really good care of it, absolutely.
Or if you're driving your mom's car when you're 16, you're not really as careful.
No, it's somebody else's problem, and that's just how that goes. But
right.
You get a 16-year-old their own car, even if it's junk, they're going to take care of it.
It's
more
true.
So. Most 16-year-olds will do this. Obviously, it's not true in every case. 855-450-FREE, SACL toll-free call-in line here on Free Talk Live. You can give us a call. What do you think? Homeless people, should they be made to work? 855-450-3733.
You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world, and their value seems only to be increasing. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins are going up. Weusecoins.org.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where even the chaff is wheat, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? Finding discounts means clipping coupons. False. By sitting down with a farmer's agent, you'll get access to discounts that could save you hundreds on home and auto insurance. If you said true, put down the scissors and start saving on more than just canned yams.
We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
Call a farmer's agent to see how you can save on auto and home insurance. Find your local agent at farmers.com.
They're poisoning the water with fluoride. They're spraying the air with heavy metals. Why and what can you do to defend your family? This week at waterwebinar.com, in an all-new free live online webinar, Earth's most powerful cleansing secret is being revealed. A secret they don't want you to know about. Find out how to take fluoride and heavy metals out of your water and your body. Use it to neutralize deadly inorganic particles like lead, aluminum, even mercury, and remove these accumulated poisons from your body. Go to waterwebinar.com. A water secret so powerful, some have called it the number one threat to the entire New World Order health agenda. It was even used during Chernobyl to clean up nuclear contamination. Go to waterwebinar.com now and sign up for free to find out how to turn the worst water on this planet into pristine, clear drinking water which heals your body. You can take your water freedom into your own hands and defend yourself and your family from the globalist health agenda. Don't get left behind. It's your life, your water, your freedom. Fight for it. Go to waterwebinar.com now.
Jason Lewis here. You know, we talk daily about all the crazy stuff going on, concerns with the economy, job loss, natural disasters. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for you and your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dried meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Company entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. Also, for a limited time, go to WiseFoodStorage.com and enter promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com, promo code Lewis, and don't forget to request a free sample. WiseFoodStorage.com, gourmet emergency food at the best price.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live, 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line, 855-450-3733. You might be able to squeeze your call in if you call us at that number, 855-450-3733. If you're calling in on the AMP line right now, sorry, I can't screen any calls. I do the screening during the breaks. That's why it's better to call the main number at 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
And Luther.
And Julia.
So, Julia, let's continue with this. Real quick, I've got to plug the AMP program. If you like what we do on Free Talk Live, spreading the ideas of liberty far and wide on more than 110 radio stations across the country to XM channels, we are probably the biggest voice of sort of the pure liberty message out there available to the listening public. You can support us by, well, joining our subscription program at amp.freetalklive.com. It's just $3 a month is all we ask for. And you get a commercial-free podcast and a couple of other bennies. It's amp.freetalklive.com. Also, you can support us by doing the shopping you do online at shop.freetalklive.com. Whether it's Amazon or Newegg, it's shop.freetalklive.com. Julia, continue with the story, if you would.
Okay, so homeless shelter in Austin. $100,000 a year is what the city spends to maintain it. In addition, it plans to spend nearly $700,000 to fix the plumbing, roofing, mold, and other problems.
Plumbing, roofing, and mold in a seven-year-old building.
$700,000. Mm. I think that could be done a little cheaper if it wasn't the government.
It could be.
It seems high to me. What do I know? Maybe it's huge.
I would guess.
Yeah. Front Steps, the nonprofit group that is paid to run the facility, says the shelter is serving hundreds more people every day than the building was designed to handle.
I'll bet.
Thus, parts of it are wearing out faster than anticipated.
I'll bet.
That story led several readers to contact me with this question. Why is the city paying $100,000 a year for maintenance when it has all this free labor under its roof? Why don't they make the homeless people clean and maintain the building? We feed them, Austin Reader says. We care for them. Why don't they work a little? And see,
it makes perfectly good sense to me. I mean, I can hardly imagine that somebody else is mopping these floors. Really?
This reminds me of a story when I was living in Portland. Maine has a lot of homeless people because they make it really easy for you to survive as a homeless person there. I mean, like, kids as young as 18, you know, we're just as soon as they get out of high school, they don't work. They just go on the welfare program and become homeless.
Right.
It's so easy to do.
And I'm not going to claim for one second that there aren't homeless people that need help.
Sure.
I'm not going to claim that at all.
Sure.
But I do know that the insurance industry, which polices fraud, claims that 25% of claims are fraudulent. I can only imagine that when you don't police fraud very well, and just about anybody can go into a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter if they're willing to put up with the digs.
Yeah.
If you're not policing fraud, then you're going to have a higher level of fraud. As far as I'm concerned, if the public is paying for a homeless shelter and somebody is sleeping in it that doesn't need it, they are committing fraud.
Well, what this reminds me of is there was a story that somebody I work with told me where they tried to start a program where they were giving the homeless people jobs to do, and a lot of them just didn't want to do it. For whatever reason.
I wouldn't doubt that for one second. There was a story where they were in Georgia, they were kicking out migrant labor because they wanted probationers, people on probation, who would go to prison if they didn't do the work they were told to do. They wanted them to do the farm labor, and most of them couldn't make it through the first day. That just goes to show, I mean, that's tough work, and it just goes to show that these people are not used to this level of labor.
Wow.
Let's talk to Johnson in Connecticut. Johnson?
I guess my, obviously I want to see people who are homeless work for their, earn their keep. But I think the problem is that a lot of these people are crazy. They're crazy.
Some.
And they're alcoholics.
Yep.
Drug addicts.
Sure. Some are.
Yeah.
So I think the problem is, Johnson,
I spent a certain amount of time in prison, and I can tell you a crazy man can clean a toilet.
Some crazy men can, I'm sure.
Some can't. It's absolutely true. But if you start making men clean toilets, then at some point, some of them are going to be disincentivized to stay at the homeless shelter. If you don't make them clean toilets, more of them will not be disincentivized, right?
I certainly agree with that. My concern would be is that if they start spending a whole bunch of money on some sort of state program and trying to make them, I almost feel like my worry is that it would be more effort to try and make them earn their keep with some of these people,
I don't know. I mean, it seems like it would be relatively easy to say, hand somebody one of those, those little loopy toilet brush things and say, hey, you clean this, you go clean the bathroom, you can stay here tonight. I mean, that doesn't sound that difficult.
And it already is a state program, which is really the problem.
Right. That's probably the major problem is that it's a state-run program. If it were like some sort of a private...
It's not a state-run program. Johnson, it's not a state-run program. It's a privately run program that gets state money, which is just as bad, frankly.
$100,000 a year, apparently, just to keep up with the building.
I remember reading, and I think it was covered on FTL, it was probably maybe a year or 2 years ago, there was some sort of... restaurant/shelter that was run by, and it wasn't even just considered a shelter. It was anyone could go in and get a meal. Anyone could, and that included homeless people. But they had to do some work in order to be there. But it was open to the public, and that was sort of an interesting thing. That was totally privately run. That was on FTL because I think it eventually got shut down by the government because it was doing so well.
There was this is essentially how mutual aid societies have functioned in this country for two centuries. This is how they operated. Somebody would say, we've got a problem with poor people. Let's donate a piece of land for the poorhouse. And the poorhouse would have a piece of land. It would have a house on it. They would live there. They would decide amongst themselves who got to stay and who had to go. I'm sure there was a great deal of politics and some infighting at them. But let's not forget, I'm not looking to incentivize people staying at the poorhouse either. Also, they would have land there. They'd be able to grow crops, and they'd be able to, do things with this. And they would be able to aid themselves in doing better. And this, when they're not helping themselves, they're just going to be helpless.
And that's really my biggest issue with it is that the helping themselves. I mean, if you have nowhere to stay at all, you have no family, you have no friends who would be willing to take you in for a short while.
Likely they do. They've just used them up over
time. That's what I mean. What kind of a person are you? If I was starving and I came to you, Mark, and I said, Mark, I have nowhere to stay. If you let me stay at your house for a month, I'll clean your toilets and I'll do whatever. I mean, there's nobody in your life who you could go to. What have you done?
I really do wonder about this. It seems to me you probably could get a place to stay if you exchanged labor for it. And I get that there are people that can't exchange labor for it. I understand that. But I think that there's far too large of a percentage of the homeless population is just people who don't feel like working or who have, interests that outweigh their desire to work. For instance, I'd rather drink than do work or whatever. And there's a net here to catch me. So the net becomes a hammock.
I don't know, though, the program of, like, start to, my concern, I guess, in this is that, okay, you force them to work, then they don't work, then they leave the homeless shelter or something like that, or they're finding their way, you know, they're doing their drugs and their alcohol and they're talking to themselves, walking along the street. Yeah. You know, is forcing them to do the work, is that going to rehabilitate them and make them into better people? I don't know that that's the case. I almost feel like instead of focusing on that, you know, maybe you have something, the combination of that and some sort of rehabilitation. But
do you think that most homeless shelters, if you can't get somebody to clean a toilet, I don't think you can rehabilitate them, frankly, Johnson. Do you think that most homeless shelters do not require work from homeless people? Because I've got to say that this comes as a shock to me. I took a tour and spent some time at the Salvation Army in Sarasota, Florida, and I recall them having quite a bit of labor that came from the people that were living there. I couldn't tell you. I can't remember off the top of my head what happened 7 years ago when I toured this facility. But I'm reasonably certain that most places probably get a great deal of labor from their homeless participants.
Yeah,
and that these people in Austin are just bat-ass crazy for going and giving these crazy people pedicures.
I do agree with Johnson.
I know that they have like curfews, and I know that they a lot of them have curfews, and they have requirements for searching for jobs, and they've got to do X amount of time, like, and X amount of applications and whatnot. But I don't know enough about how much they're actually requiring as far as work is concerned. I mean, I'm certain it's a good thing. I mean,
I can't imagine. I mean, when you're talking about 100 people staying in a facility, it can't take you more than 10 minutes to do one of the chores. I mean, I can't imagine. We're not talking about spending 10 hours a day turning big rocks into little rocks with a sledgehammer in prison. We're talking about go scrub two toilets, throw some bleach on them. I mean, Johnson, I got to feel like you're never going to rehabilitate somebody who can't or won't do that.
Well, and the state is the worst person to do this. You need somebody with compassion who really cares.
Johnson, thank you for the call. Well, that's another edition of Free Talk Live in the can. It's been Mark with you.
And Luther.
And Julia.
Thanks for listening.
As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes feed the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and 5-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com. Oh, give me-